Humble and Fred's interesting beer. Humble and Fred, the most interesting people I've ever met. While some may say that they are not very interesting, I find them to be very interesting. I don't know if you know this. Humble golfs. I mean, so does Fred. He just does not golf very well. But Humble golfs well. And this I find interesting, but not as interesting as Humble and Fred's interesting beer. It's very good. I love it myself. I find it very refreshing and interesting.
Humble and Fred's interesting all-Canadian ale, available now with free delivery anywhere in Ontario. Order yours today at stonehooker.com. And let me sprinkle this in. Humble and Fred's interesting all-Canadian ale, Stonehooker Beer Tasting and Pizza Party on the Patio is Wednesday, August 7th.
Wow, man. I was about to say I've never been more proud of you, but then...
Yes, Wednesday, August 7th at 7 p.m.
Yes.
Email us at humbleandfred@humbleandfredradio.com to secure our position. We'd like some idea of how many people are going to be there.
Yeah. I need you to, for some reason, as soon as we turn Zoom on, your microphone goes down. Dan's is fine. Let's begin. Right. Let's begin, kids.
This episode of Humble and Fred is being broadcast to the world from our state-of-the-art Humble and Fred studio in Toronto, from our Kawarthas Lakeside facility with a newly painted Muskoka chair, and from the trailer next to it with the Danis Duranis bust. I'm Dan Duran, broadcasting live from the Danielle Hayashi Zoom Theater and brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, the Chambers Plan, Boron One, Bodog, and Lender's Choice Mortgages. And now, here are two men who are testing out different ear bandages for the highest return on empathy. It's Humble and Fred.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jeff Lumby, host of Jeff and Julie, moved to France in a global pandemic. That guy's going to be with us and presenting his content that he... Longtime broadcaster and funny man that he is. We'll be talking a little bit about the Paris Olympics. He lives in France, so that's a hot topic. That's a hot topic on Humble and Fred Show. And he's got some other stuff as well, including, and I won't play it yet, including the anthem from last night's, it's Major League Baseball's All-Star Break.
Oh, yeah.
Last night was the batting derby, home run derby.
Home run derby, yes.
And so they had an anthem singer before the proceedings, and it's quite something.
What, butchered the Canadian anthem? Or
no, no, no. Anthem? It's just the American anthem. The
Okay.
The O Say Can You See One.
The anthem I heard last night, and again, not to jump right into it, was that Lee Greenwood, that slack-jawed Yahoo asshole.
Okay. I mean, not to get right into it, but we have to get... No, no, no. The first second sentence out of your mouth is slack-jawed asshole.
You know, he sang the anthem last night at the RNC.
Of course he did, yes.
You know, and was blowing Trump like from
blah,
afar.
Blah, 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 anyway, blah.
Let's get back to the baseball game.
Can we keep it pleasant for a while before you continue your death, your death wish?
You mentioned a anthem, I know. Was connected.
I know. Okay, was it?
Thank you.
Yeah, I tried to. Well, obviously we're going to talk about the whole Trump thing. I tried to stay away from a lot of it yesterday. I tried to get out of it for an afternoon, but we'll get back into it a little bit today. There's other things going on in the world, Fred. I'm not sure if you're aware. There's an LCBO strike, and I wanted to ask you guys because you're in you're in up Northland, and for a long time in up Northland, you guys have had there's a name for those things, the
agency store.
Thank you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So because the LCBO strike is on into its second week, and as of August 1st, there was going to be an expansion to what is allowable in these agency stores and grocery stores.
Right.
But they're speeding it up. They are going to get...
Water.
Well, they're going to speed up. It says alcohol expansion plans accelerated because of the LCBO strike.
Oh, because I had heard yesterday that they had planned on opening some stores on weekends, but that plan had been ditched. So,
I don't know about the weekends, but the first, this is about 450 grocery stores will also be able to temporarily display alcohol in multiple areas of the store. This is basically a way to, I guess, work around the LCBO strike. And they're going to be also selling something in the ready-to-drink category. I'm not sure what that is.
Yeah, next week. That's like, you know, a Ryan Coke already mixed in a can or any of those coolers, vodka-based coolers. Like,
oh, okay, sure.
You know, because...
Don't get him
wrong. Mike's hard or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That, right?
Mike's hard? What have you done to him, Dan? don't get emotional, Fred. It's just alcohol.
Grocery stores can only sell beer and wine now. So I apparently, like, next week that's opening up. But I was at an agency store yesterday, and agency stores remain open, but the problem is they're not getting a supply. So I think there was, like, two bottles of Bailey's on the shelf yesterday. That was it.
Well, this is the new...
The liquor had been cleared out.
Well, this is the news, though. This was all going to take place, LCBO strike aside, was all supposed to take place at the beginning of the next month. This is the story is that they're accelerating this to, combat the fact that people can't get their booze.
Yeah.
Does it affect you guys?
No, not me.
Dan?
Not really. We tend to go to the agency store because the nearest liquor stores are further away than the agency stores, and you know the selection in Lakefield is not that fantastic. So yeah, we shop the agency. But the problem is that what Fred was just saying.
Yeah.
I was in on Friday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and the store was in the process of being cleared out, and they had already paid for an order. I think what's happening is that they're picketing the distribution centers instead of the actual LCBO stores to prevent trucks from rolling and distributing whatever alcohol. So I think you have to be a pretty big supplier or a seller to buy from directly from the whatever the wine establishment, you know, where the makers of the wine kind of have to go directly. Rather than
Young's point yesterday was cleaned right out. I don't know grocery stores that sell wine. I don't know what the status is there, whether those shelves are bare at this point. But no, it doesn't affect me. I have a bottle of Proper 12 here. I haven't opened in weeks, and I'm not much of a wine drinker, although there was a bit here left over from the weekend that the kids brought. But I'm not an active liquor drinker.
Well, that's why places like Stonehooker are such a great, you know, choice right now. It's always a great choice. Stonehooker Brewery on in the Lakeview area on Lakeshore, just there in Mississauga. Because they sell the Humble and Fred interesting all-Canadian ale. And as you mentioned, our little party, Dan and Fred, on the 7th of August, already many people have asked for tickets. And you can, too. Just give us an idea. Humble and Fred at humbleandfredradio.com, as you said. So we're going to mention that several times. But besides our beer there, there's all kinds of other beer there. And it's that craft brew vibe, you know, and it's...
Yep. I've tested a few. Very nice.
Yeah. And you made a mention of not going to the LCBO very much. Obviously, I don't go at all. But I guess what I was trying to get at is, do people still go there for beer? It's really not the beer destination. It's more for hard liquor and wine, yeah?
I think you find, you know, beer drinkers go to the beer store. And I think often, you know, like, people don't buy 2-4s at the liquor store. I think you go buy your liquor, you stroll through the beer area and grab one of these, grab one of that, test this, test that, maybe a 6-pack of Guinness. It's just, it's a convenience that if you want beer, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I like my Miller Lite, so I go and buy a 2-4. I get it at the beer store.
Have you, I should have asked you this because I don't know the answer, but I'll bring up some interesting all-Canadian ale when I come visit you guys next weekend.
Well, I'm hoping, I'm coming back to the city tomorrow. I was hoping somehow to get some between, you know.
Well, why don't you swing by?
Now and then.
I'll bring some for you, Dan, though.
Oh, that'd be great. Fantastic.
That's what you can be drinking whilst I'm visiting. You can actually look at the beer, look at me and Fred, look at the beer, and then back and forth. Do you see?
I can't wait to do all that looking.
Yeah. Drinking and looking.
Looking and drinking and looking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be like get super drunk and be like, wait a second. The label's actually alive.
You know, this this LCBO strike, I find it, well, you know, it's, you know, in this age that we live in, so many businesses, so many situations are transitional. And, you know, it's just hitting them now. And I understand the resistance because it's your job, you know, and it's your security. I understand all that. But it's just yet another system that is experiencing long overdue transition, probably in this case.
Yeah, no kidding.
So you wonder, you know, what the resolution ultimately will be. But when I drive by the picketers, I've done that a couple of times, you know, you're supposed to honk and support them. I don't. I just look forward straight ahead.
Mm.
Because I have that in mind. It's like, well, you know, there's a million people out there that are going through transition. It's, what are you going to do?
Can't well, there has been a case, though, for the LCBO once they, in the privatizing of it, as we are going along and you know, increasing the distribution, there has to be more profit in it for people who aren't taking the profit now, right? So there has been a discussion about how much the provincial coffers will be losing by doing what Ford's doing to the system. So that where is that money going to be recouped is the bigger question, right?
Well, why would he do that if they're going to lose revenue? And that's just a question. That's not a statement. Like, I don't get that. So,
well, I think it's because a lot of people don't like the LCBO and its control of things. And a lot of people want a system more like Quebec where you can... You know,
or like the rest of the country.
The rest of the world.
Yeah. And, well, and
I suppose.
No,
yeah.
No,
yeah.
Not, you don't suppose. If you know... Listen, this ready to drink category is part of this, is part of the issue in this strike. It's a bunch of revenue, and yes, some of it will be lost. But what Fred said in the sentence he's uttered, the words long overdue. I've lived here 35 years. I moved here, though, 35 years ago this summer from a place where you could buy booze, beer and wine, at least at that time, in the corner stores. But everywhere else in the world, this is one of the few places left. You know, that idea of buying wine from the LCBO. You know that the LCBO is one of the biggest wine buyers on planet Earth?
Yes.
So they've had this monopoly, Dan, for a long time. And yes, in the transition part of this, some things are going to be different.
Well, and you can't just keep kicking the can down the road. And what I love is the, you know, there's not other things you should be concentrating other than this. Well, you know, if you're running a government, there are big issues and small issues. You don't always ignore the small issues to deal with the big issues. Sometimes you got to look after everything, and this one just came along. And again, I don't care. It's not going to change my life at all.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't. Whether I go to the LCBO, I got two right close to me. I don't care. But just from a rational standpoint, it's like, yeah, I guess Ontario is ready for this, like the rest of the world.
But I understand your point, Dan, is a good one, that in the short term, and we've all gone through it in our business. You know, I have another story here about Coors just announced it's going to be laying off 25% of their workforce. So it happens to lots and lots of other businesses. But for some reason, when it comes to government, you know, sponsored initiatives or whatever, it was like, oh, well, Doug Ford. Yeah, but it's like any other business.
Well, exactly. You know, I feel bad for the LCBO workers if they're affected. But I feel bad for our buddy Bob Ouellette, who lost his job through Chorus and a host of other people that worked in the broadcasting industry because it's contracted and they lose their job. It's just part of it. What can you say?
The province plans to open up the alcohol market. This will culminate in the fall where every licensed convenience, grocery, and big box store will be able to sell beer, cider, wine, and these mixed drinks, I guess these ready-to-drink things. Once that happens, the province estimates that alcohol will be available for purchase at 8,500 new locations, the biggest expansion of consumer choice convenience since the end of Prohibition.
Yeah. you know, and traditionally Ontario had some obviously strict liquor laws. I remember in my lifetime, you went into a liquor store in Ontario, you actually had to fill out a slip with your name and address before you bought liquor. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they had that in Saskatchewan or Alberta. But yeah, in my lifetime, you walked into the LCBO, you got the slip of paper, you had to write down what you wanted, the booze you wanted, your name, your address, I don't know, your phone number. But that's how archaic it was, and they slowly pulled out of that.
When
and this years later is just another step, right?
Yeah, when Dan was a kid, he used to go over to the still and ask Pappy, do you got any of that moonshine? And yeah
Pappy, have you got some moonshine?
That's Pappy. When we were still using jugs.
That's right. Dan would take the booze jug, and it always had XXX on it. Remember in the cartoons, it always had triple X on the side of the booze jug.
Hey guys, let me throw this by you. Talk about transition. A report came out yesterday. Toronto traffic congestion now at a crisis stage. It's starting to severely affect the economy. You know, and more I'm hearing about these stories of about people that during COVID got to work from home and now are being asked to come back. And, you know, the situation that's creating, because a lot of people before COVID drove to work when gas was like a dollar a liter and groceries were a lot cheaper and their wages haven't gone up. And now you're being asked to come back to work and buy expensive gas, more expensive transit. You're already stretched a bit because of groceries. So you talk about transition. What about legislating work from home for certain industries? You know what I mean? Like maybe the government has to get involved there and say this job can be done from home. So your employees have to stay home. Would it come to that? Because they're not going to make the roads any wider in Toronto.
No, they're trying.
No, they're repairing them.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I was on the the QEW on Friday morning on my way to Michigan for my golf lesson. And there's a bunch of construction in the Mississauga corridor of the QEW. And then on top of construction, there was an accident. And all it takes is it wasn't a huge accident, but a big enough accident that fire was called. There's a couple fire trucks and several police vehicles, and then the accident vehicles and the tow truck. And that affected traffic for easily an hour. Like, it was an hour delay. Sure. And that's just one little accident. So that's why when you said it's at a crisis point, where we're at now in the city is any little thing that happens. And Dan, you experience it when you come in for auditions and such.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Any little thing that happens where that's the crisis is it no longer can sustain even a small glitch in the system because it fucks it up because of all the other factors. What you just said, more people on the road, etc.
Well, and again, what is the solution? Because you can't widen the Gardiner, right? There's a lot of corridors. Even the 401 through Oshawa. A couple of weeks ago, I drove back that way, and it's like three lanes on either side. But there's houses tucked right against the highway, so there's no room for widening it there. And you know, the 410's a great example too, because 410, over the years, they've widened the 410, but up near me at Mayfield, it goes from three lanes to two lanes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that bottleneck now, it's busy all day long. It backs up all day long going north because of that bottleneck. And so what do they do? Keep pushing it out, pushing it out, pushing it out? Like, to what avail, right?
It's kind of like, build it and they will come. Because I think they've done studies about that. It's more roads, the bigger you make them, the more cars there ends up being on the roads. And a lot of the money, the solution, Fred, in part has to do with a really effective transit system.
Yes.
Which is another idea that's 35 years too late.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, we have antiquated alcohol laws in this country, this province. This huge city we live in, unlike all the other cities we've all visited, where their transit system is modern, ours really isn't. You know, my solution is this. I mean, I was thinking about how long it's been since I've gone into the city. Maybe, honestly, it's been like I have to go to a, I go to this physiotherapist at Queen and Dover Court. That's as far east as I go now, and I never have to get on the Gardiner. I basically, since the construction they announced for the next couple of years, I just avoid it.
Yeah.
If I can, I just stay on surface streets. And then when I do leave the city, I always leave going west on the Gardiner, which is, I'm lucky because I can get out of here pretty quickly. By the way, what were you doing in Oshawa? Why were you not on the 407?
Because, you know, I'm cost conscious, and it's, I thought, I looked at my ways, and it would be cheaper to go to the 401 and go over to the 404 before I hit, you know, the center of the city, and then up the 404 to the 407. It shaves cost.
Like, what? Would it shave, what, like $3 off your trip?
You went all the way to... Are you kidding me?
No, I'm just curious. I'm kidding. I'm asking you again.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, I'm kidding you.
Are you kidding? Are you kidding, Fred?
Are you kidding? Somebody, wait a minute. This just in. Is somebody kidding you?
Howard, that saved midday about $40.
No way.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you. It's
so
ridiculous.
The 115.35 to the
410 to midday is almost $60.
And so by going down to the 401 and across that way, you saved the company $40?
Yeah, two-thirds of the...
Wow.
But if you do that five or six times now, you've saved a couple hundred. And it's no more sweat. It might be add 10 minutes to the journey, but
this is why you're in charge of the finances. Cuz I would have said fuck that shit and just drove across the 407. But I only do it once in a while. You're right. I don't do it every couple of days like you do.
Yeah, Freddie, you know.
My personal rule.
Freddie leans on it a little more than you do.
Yeah, baby.
My personal rule is that if it saves me half an hour, then I'll take the 407. If I look at Waze and say, okay, well, it's going to save me half an hour to do this, then now we're talking.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do it for 10 or 15 minutes. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Dan, I'd like to talk to you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
If I may speak to you directly, Dan, I'm not sure if you're okay with this. But there's been several people. I may be exaggerating. Maybe it was one, but I want to say several because it'll make the story better. It's come to our attention that your disgust with the fat is making some of our listeners a little nervous. I don't have it in front of me, but there was an email yesterday that came in asking for the beer tasting. And I can't remember... Maybe it's right here. Oh, yeah. Oh, here it is. I won't say who it is, but basically says, I look forward to meeting you fellas in person, period. New sentence, Dan, that's you, won't like me because I'm overweight, but that's okay. And I saw that, and I was like, oh, poor guy, literally nervous that you're going to see him march right over. And say, away with ye.
you're not allowed in here.
You are not allowed here.
Well, see, there's something that's how things just get overblown.
Yes.
Right?
Whoa. Like, especially the people that are fat.
Or Dan, should we set like a BMI threshold or something?
That's right. We should get one of those scales, those doctor scales, and then Dan can stand there with his checklist and go, nope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
take your shoes off, get on the scale and see if you're,
31%, get out of here.
Yeah. No, sir. Anyway, I think you really need, because, you know, everything else about you is so genteel. And you love everyone. Yesterday, you had a moral quandary with us wanting Trump to be killed. And yet, when it comes to the fat.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this it started in a different. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. You know,
I'm gonna dig a hole, and I'm not gonna dig the hole any deeper. Why bother?
You know, Dan, it's really just for comedic purposes that I pointed it out.
Bygones. Ducks off a water's back.
Exactly.
You know
how it goes. Water off a duck's back. Duck off a water's back.
By the way, retreating to an earlier story.
Yes.
The LCBO thing, the province has estimated. There's an internal government document floating around that says that net revenue loss is expected to be $150 to $200 million per year as a result of all the changes
coming. Yes, sir.
So there you go.
So, okay, does it say why they want to do that or why that makes sense?
Well, like you guys have been saying, I think it's a political move in part, but also you guys have been talking just now about, like, you know, the way the rest of the world does it. Why aren't we doing it that way?
Yeah. I'm not sure Doug Ford will get one vote for putting booze in stores at the end of the day, but who knows? Who knows?
Just looking here on Facebook, I just checked the feed, and for the first time, I don't know, maybe ever, Ed Lovkin has pointed out something that I do quite often. He says, I swear that Humble wore the same shirt yesterday. Was there some late night rendezvous and a walk of shame home early this morning? Great question, Ed. But no, there was unfortunately no late night rendezvous. But I did wear the same shirt yesterday. And here's why. Because I have a grown-up Humble and Fred sales meeting after the show, and I have to wear, like, a grown-up shirt, you know, with a collar and buttons and stuff. So I have that shirt ready to go for as soon as the show's over. I thought, okay, I'll just wear this again for the show because, you know, it's not that bad. It's still pretty good.
Is this grown-up meeting on Zoom?
No, it's in person.
An in-person thing. Yes, oh, are you going to wear a tie and stuff, or...?
Yeah, I'm going to wear a tie and a blazer.
He's going to wear a bow tie.
That's great, Dan. Yeah, that's what I... Because as you know, Dan, when I'm doing the sales calls, I often wear a bow tie and a blazer.
See, I would have been conscious of that. Like, I've worn a hoodie 2 days in a row with, like, my Super Bowl hoodie or something. That's different.
Yeah.
But T-shirt, like, with a logo on it, I would have been conscious of that. I can't wear that.
But here's the thing. Like, I wore this for the show yesterday. And then I went to a yoga class, and I had another shirt in my bag. So I thought I put that on after. Right. I had two shirts. I forgot. So I didn't really wear this one for most of the day. Then I went out last night, also wearing a collared shirt. So that's Ed. See what you've started.
You could have said, Howard. You could have said, I have more than one Tabasco T-shirt. Number one.
Yes, this is one of a set that I got.
I noticed that our buddy George Strombolopoulos, remember, all he ever wore was black, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes I used to think about that. Like, does he actually change a shirt, or does he have that many black T-shirts? But I do, too. Like, there's days that I'll wear black T-shirts consecutive days, maybe 3 days. But it's a fresh one every day because I buy my rough dress T-shirts at Costco, and I often grab a few black ones. And you know why, Howard. I have the same problem you do, that I'm very messy, and the black T-shirts seem to, you know, cover up, you know, spaghetti sauce.
Yeah, exactly.
Different types of food stuff. So, but remember, George always was in black.
A lot of people, you know,
it was Johnny Cash.
No, what was the guy, Apple guy, Steve Jobs? Like, that was his whole thing, that he wore the same clothes every day. Not the same. Just to see, because he didn't want to have any thinking around what his wardrobe was going to be day to day. And there's something to be said for that. He had other things on his mind, Dan, like inventing all the technology.
That a turtleneck in Southern California seems a little bit weird.
No, I know.
To wear every day.
Yeah, but he did all right.
That was the weird part.
And I mean,
yeah. Well, no, he did fine. I mean, I worked through the heat.
So maybe this will be my new uniform. I'll just wear the same Tabasco T-shirt. Yeah. And by the way, Ed, if I remember, I'm going to wear it again tomorrow.
Yeah. Hey, turtlenecks. Did you guys ever wear them? I remember my mumba. I could never wear those.
I used to hate them.
Couldn't.
Oh, but you know what was worse than turtlenecks?
Especially the wool ones. Jesus.
Yeah, they were horrible.
Itchy.
It was like, there's a comic has a, it's like being strangled by your clothing all day. But do you remember the things that were worse than turtlenecks? You know what I'm going to say?
Dickies.
Fucking Dickies. It's like all the inconvenience of a turtleneck without the rest of you, without the arms, you know. Where did they go? How come no one's wearing Dickies anymore?
But I remember my mom bought me this wool turtleneck thing, and I remember the first day I wore it, I thought, this is like, This is like punishment.
Yeah, you're being tortured.
And I never wore it again. I can't handle it. Can't handle it.
All right. Well, listen, Dan, we're gonna let you go because we're gonna do some emails today. We're gonna take a departure from you know what we normally do on a Tuesday because we've got Lumby coming up and we got a lot of Trump talk coming up. Dan's gonna come back at the end of the Lumby interview. We're gonna have a lot of stuff coming up, and as I mentioned, we're gonna be playing some audio of one of the worst anthem in recent history that you'll have to stick around for. Don't fast forward this part. Here's Fred with some great news.
Hey, the Major League All-Star Game is tonight. Did you know that? The American League against the National League. And, you know, you think, do people wager on that? Listen, people wager on everything. Most people responsibly. But tonight, if you were to place a bet through Bodog on the All-Star Game, Major League All-Star Game, the American League is the favorite at minus 122, just so you know. The National League pays plus 102. Whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker casino player, Bodog, your number one source of online gambling entertainment, from their industry-leading odds, world-class sportsbook, to their fully loaded casino and racebook, they've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. That's your Bodog.
I just want to once again mention, and we will, of course, that we'd love to have you come visit us at Stonehooker Brewing Company, stonehooker.com, on the 7th of August. If all things work out, I think Brother David's going to be there. My older brother. Yes! Smart Brother David is going to be in town, coming to hang out with me for a few days of golf. And I think I said, listen, if you get there in time for Tuesday, we're doing this thing at Stonehooker. It's Humble and Fred's interesting all-Canadian ale Stonehooker beer tasting and pizza party on the patio at Stonehooker. The address, should you like to, you know what, go do it yourself. It's pretty easy to find. It's 866 Lakeshore Road East. And just to remind you that you can get locally, you can get free delivery with a purchase of $50 or more in the GTA anywhere, free delivery with a purchase of $100 or more. Did you have something to add?
No, that nails it.
Yeah, and Freddie's drank it. Everyone, we've got a lot of feedback from people that have drunken. Is it drunken the beer? Drank the beer?
Yeah, something like that. We know what you mean.
Yeah, lots of people tasted it and loved it. And it's just the reviews are in, and it's all that we wanted it to be. Refreshing,
yes.
You know, not too challenging, and it's low alcohol. What did you say? It was like 4-something?
Well, it's like 4.4, yeah.
Well, so there you go. As Ross Noel, or Noel, who is the guy that owns Stonehooker, always says, it's crushable. Okay, so we're going to do some emails today, emails tomorrow, because we just don't have time, because we don't do a full email show, so we thought we would separate them a little bit. So, Freddie, let's get started.
Hi, guys.
This is subject matter snack suggestion from Keith Weiland, who is, a great supporter of the show. He says, hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
He says, the next time you have watermelon, squeeze fresh lemon juice all over it. I saw this on TikTok, and it sounded interesting.
Interesting.
So I tried it myself. It's really good. Surely it will tantalize your taste buds, too. Also, last night my wife was talking about a recipe with cumin. Then immediately I got this random flashback of this time a few years ago when you two were talking about spices or something. And then all of a sudden Fred blurted out, oh, baby, I'm coming. I couldn't stop laughing. My wife thinks I'm fucked. Well, so does mine, Keith.
Yeah,
he says, heart rate and shitting, all that. He's good. Peace, Keith.
I think he meant cumin, and you said I'm cumin.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Oh, right. It's true. It's
like, I let you go through that whole thing, but I'm like, should I say anything? Is that going to bug?
Right.
I couldn't. Yeah, I had to, because the whole bit was we were talking about cumin, and you started going, baby, I'm cumin.
Oh, that was it. Oh, so I wrecked the story. That's all right.
But I didn't want to say anything.
Why?
Because you were going along so nicely.
Well, you should have said, no, Fred, it's cumin. I know it's cumin.
Of course you do.
I often have to buy cumin for my wife.
This is the point. But I thought you'd get to the end of it. And I'm like, okay, well. Part of it was I was looking for my email.
That's very... Well, isn't that silly?
No, it's all right, though. Okay, let me... Because that was the bit that you... And you made, you know, yes, you made a bit of it. Baby, I'm cumin. Yeah. You know.
All right.
Okay,
here
we go.
The way I read it, it just sounds disgusting. Anyway.
Well, it was disgusting. Yeah. Let me get to my email here. This is from Robert Fraser. And
hi, guys. Hi, guys.
The subject line is golf mantra and your interesting ale. And of course he says, hi, guys. Why?
Because he's not an animal.
Hi, guys.
Enjoyed the golf banter in the show this week. This is from last week. The golf great or, you know, play great or be great to play with is a wonderful mantra for the course. I shared it with a bunch of the folks I golf with. On your worst playing days, it's a walk in a wonderful park with your friends. It's how everyone who is not on the tour should approach the game. And I have another buddy of mine who always says, you know, we're all pay-to-play players. And if you're paying to play, you know, if you look at it that way, like I'm paying to be out here, making it such a aggravating experience doesn't make any sense. It didn't. I mean, obviously, listen, I was the worst I ever met on the golf course for a long time. Robert goes on to say, and congratulations on the beer launch. Plan to see you both at the upcoming event at Stonehooker. And I didn't see that part, Robert, so I will add you to the list. I label it as beer tasting. So there you go. And we will see Robert there. He goes on to say, resting heart rate 61. That's pretty good. Bowel movements, as expected. OG Hundy P dash AV. Don't know what that means. Okay.
Audio visual. Coming.
Yeah, I was going to say, why don't you do some more coming jokes? Yeah, baby, I'm coming. Okay.
That is so bad.
That
is just so fucking stupid.
When you listen back to it, you're going to be like, why am I saying I'm coming? It's disgusting.
Just add it to the list.
This is why we don't want our grandkids to listen to this stupid shit.
Hi,
okay,
guys.
What else you got?
Hi, guys.
Subject line, H&F beer. This is from our buddy Chris Brown.
Yeah.
And he says, hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
He sends a picture. He says, my friend Craig and I enjoying the Humble and Fred beer. I can assure you that we had more than one. Very tasty, refreshing, and perfect for an amazing summer day of watching TFC and Canada soccer. Thank you, Chris. They're enjoying it. Big smile on his face with his buddy. Very nice. I imagine we may see him on August 7th as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, we would love you to actually formally send us the email that says, I want to come to the beer tasting, just so we get an idea.
Yes.
But if you're a Humble and Fred regular, you know, feel free. How about that? Yeah, just go ahead and just, you know, come on in. Okay, here's my last one. This is from Bradley Hider, H-I-D-E-R, or Hitter, but he's
hi guys.
Subject line,
hi
interesting,
guys.
All hi Canadian guys. Ale. Of course he says, hi guys, you know why?
Hi
why
guys.
Wouldn't you say hi guys? Many felicitations on the launch of your interesting all Canadian ale. An overseas fan. As an overseas fan, I'll have to wait until I get my hands on one, but I'm looking forward to that beerific day. And Bradley doesn't mention where overseas. He goes on to say, no doubt that your beer will be a great success. I would like to propose a follow-up. Did you see this one, Freddie? He says that maybe a few months down the line, after Humble and Fred's interesting all-Canadian ale, any thoughts on Dan Duran's Big Cock Buck?
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Perhaps free delivery by the man himself.
Yeah.
Loving you, Bradley George. Resting heart rate is 55. Wow. It's pretty good. Well, Brad, why don't you follow up with us? It would be interesting to know where overseas that you are residing.
Yeah. I prefer to say across the pond.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, by the way, last night I was watching something.
Yeah, but I can't trust you anymore because you think Cumin, is pronounced Cumin.
That's right. Oh, my God.
Anyway, what were you saying? Please go on.
I don't know. Was it CNN or some news program last night? There was a panel, and the guy said, that wasn't on your bingo card.
Yeah.
It was weird because you had just talked about it on yesterday's show, wasn't it?
That's
right. And this
right.
guy says that.
Everybody says it. Wow. It's the most hack thing. It's replaced. It is what it is. And then it was, I was today years old, and now I see it everywhere. Didn't have that on my bingo card.
I'm never going to say that.
No one is.
How about you? I'm never going to say that wasn't on your bingo card. I don't like it.
I won't even say it ironically. I might say
no.
Because I'm still on social media, I see it everywhere. And when I see it now, like the first time you see it, you kind of go, oh, well, I guess that's sort of clever. But the 4 billionth time, well, sort of. I mean, it's something. You know, it's not.
Yes.
It's not. It's. I'm sorry. I can't get off this. In my mind, I keep thinking of you in the act of making love, and you're like, oh, baby, I'm coming. No, Fred. No, you're not.
No. Anyway.
All right. Anyway, you're going to hear it everywhere. Here, speaking of across the pond. Here he is. Let me get him all settled. For many years, this gentleman entertained people in the Southern Ontario area and across this great nation, for that matter. And, you know, one of our very good friends about this gentleman years ago when he bought a Hummer, our good friend said, you know what, Lumby? When everyone zigs, he zags. So in typical fashion, the global pandemic hit and he thought, I know what would be a good idea. Why don't I move? Why don't I try sell everything and move to a different country? And that has produced so many hours of great content and his podcast, Jeff and Julie, Moved to France in a Global Pandemic. And now he's here making an appearance on our show. How lucky are we?
Well, you know, I would say this, Howard, that it may not have been the best idea to do that in 2020, but we were one of the few couples who were actually not confined to an apartment during the pandemic. We were busy. We were busy moving and stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true, although yeah. I do recall you and I used to have these Zoom get-togethers, and before I got to see your house, for a good portion of the pandemic, you were living in a construction zone.
I know. But you know what? Sometimes those things are necessary. I mean, Ian, the guy who put the renovation together, I was surprised he got that far. You know, I mean, here he was having to, you know, hustle trades in and out of here. He couldn't have two trades in at once because of the masks and everything. And, yeah. and you know, getting all the materials in here. So I don't think we were really put out that far or for that long, actually, for that big renovation.
And I think I've asked you this before, but Jeff, you get up this morning. Do you feel like you're home now? Do you feel like this is home? I'm completely set.
Well, I got to tell you, with what I'm hearing about the home country, Canada, and all the stuff that's going on there and what's going on in the States, yeah, this feels like more my speed, actually.
No, but it's a good question. Like other than that, you do, like, you now have been there long enough. Like when you wake up, you think of that area and that beautiful home that you've created.
I can't even imagine being anywhere else. If that's what you're asking me right now,
I just
can't
even.
Yeah, no, I can't. I can't imagine being anywhere else. And I mean, I think I'm going to step up the French because I'm losing it a little since I stopped taking the classes. So, but it's difficult. I know it sounds funny, but it's difficult finding like a tutor in France to teach you French. They're mainly teaching people English.
Right.
Yeah, which is weird. But so I need to up that a little bit because I think I should be further along. But, you know, like I was at the doctor's this morning and I managed to tell him all the things that are wrong with me. I mean, he amputated my leg, which was not what I wanted.
Having witnessed, I've been part of a recounting of all the things wrong with you. I mean, how did you get it all in one visit?
Yeah, I know. Well,
how did you cover
can't.
It? You can't. No,
you
exactly.
Can't. You can't.
You should. You'll be going to a doctor every day. I understand that.
Yeah.
Twofold. Number one, what's going on in Canada that what are you talking about?
Okay, so we're coming back in October, mm-hmm. and I just looked at car rentals, and I just looked at hotels.
Oh,
and
yeah, that?
But that wasn't 5 years ago like that.
No, you're bloody right it wasn't. No, you're right. I mean, you can't get like a Motel 6 for under $300 in the
exactly.
GTA, you
know? Exactly.
No, I get it. Yeah.
Do you know how much, just for fun, because Julie wants a place in New Yorkville, of course. Do you know how much it is to rent a room online at the Four Seasons? Now, I know
I'm going to guess it's $500 to $600 a night.
It is. Go ahead, Fred.
Seven something.
It is 971 euros.
Wow.
What?
$1,500.
Yeah.
Go look it up.
Yeah. I mean,
call me a liar.
Well, no, I won't call you a liar, but you could. You know, there is the, you do have the option of an Airbnb, which is a pretty good one.
That's what we're doing out in Kitchener. We're doing an Airbnb.
But to your point, I was coming back from Michigan on the Friday night and I stayed in London, Ontario, and I was a quality inn, and, you know, it's a simple room and it was $180. With tax.
Yeah, you can get 32 stories. You can get someone's condo, a brand new condo for that money.
Yeah,
on an Airbnb.
Yep.
You know, there were so many bad citizens through COVID gouging.
Yep.
Why that? And if they're charging it, they must be getting it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure. Like, so a simple car rental, like there, it's all over the map, but for like 9 days, a simple car rental can go, like, I'm talking about like a Toyota Corolla, can get up to like $1,500 plus.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
What you're talking about, though, is not Canada specific, because I mean, you know, it's the States, it's Mexico. I mean, I had a car rental nightmare, as you know, in Mexico, but I mean, car rentals in general are more expensive than they used to be, but you don't need to stay in Yorkville. That's the most expensive real estate in our city.
Oh, I know.
You know, Florida.
Welcome to my world.
Florida, ironically, has exploded more pretty much than anywhere. Mm-hmm. I've been there a couple of times over the past couple of years. I can't believe it. I mean, groceries in American are more than groceries in Canadian, like in Toronto, like, you know, yeah. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
You know, when they talk about, you know, no taxes down there and cheap to live, I guess, if you live in a mobile, but Jesus.
Well, we got a couple of things I want to get to with Jeff. Fred and I spent about half the show yesterday, you know, talking about the assassination attempt and American politics, and we had that theme song, War, Why Can't We Be Friends? I started singing, Why Can't He Be Dead? You know, it's a little thing that we're doing. But I thought, because you're in France, you might have an update for us about the Paris Olympics, now 11 days away. When last we spoke to our correspondent, Jefferson Lumby, we were talking about the poo in the Seine, and were they going to be able to compete in the many water sports in that poo-ridden river. Jeff, can you hear us, Jeff?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Howard.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bit of a delay.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, the latest is the mayor is going to go take a swim, and I think she's decided to go in, tomorrow, on Wednesday. And I know every time you talk about this, everybody you talk to, they're kind of going, because, I mean, this river has been, it's been illegal to swim, as I mentioned, in this river, illegal, since 1923, just because of the feces and all the business. And they have spent 1.4 billion euros trying to clear it. And a lot of people are just upset about that alone. Like, really? The 1.4 billion euros could have gone to some more worthy causes. You could have put these swimmers in a lake somewhere and called it a day.
Or a pool.
Or a pool or something. Exactly. So now there and all this for two events, really, the marathon and the triathlon. That's it. Those are the only swimming events. I mean, they're going to be hustling the athletes on the opening ceremonies. That's still a go on the Seine, but you wouldn't have needed to, you know, spend $1.4 billion to clean it for that. So anyway, that's the story. She's going to go for a big dip and probably come out looking like Sasquatch. I don't know.
With, yeah, like, boils and stuff. Oh, it's fine. It's, yeah, fine, with, like, stuff weeping on her face.
You know, earlier in the show, we were talking about transitions and people having to get their head around it. I think we're there with the Olympics. I mentioned this yesterday or whatever. The expense is so much, and the issues are so compounded, like the one you've just talked about. Just take the Olympics where they've been before, where all the facilities are in place. I mean, seriously. Who's getting greased through this?
Oh, exactly.
You know, because that's what it is. Because, you know, when they talk about, oh, bring so much money into the economy, blah, 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 prove it to me, number one.
Well, and and to your point, Fred, if you want to go on to the internet and just look at abandoned Olympic sites,
yes,
the list,
yes,
is long and wide. Weeds growing up and...
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think it's time for that because... Again, all the costs we're talking about, it costs how much for a hotel room, how much for... we got to move on from this anchor of costs that all these cities go through every 4 years. It's ridiculous.
And here's the other thing. Right now, no one's coming. Hotels are reporting cumin, 25%... pardon me?
No one's cumin.
No one's cumin. Yeah. It's a thing that...
You had to be listening.
It was earlier on the show. So, so you, it's like, not what, being well attended. Yeah.
Yeah, tourism is down 25%, according to the hotels, from last year. But you know what? Serves them right, because everybody gouged again.
Yes.
Everybody gouged, and everybody said, oh, no, sorry, I'm not coming. And so Air France is reporting fewer people on their airplanes coming to the events.
Mm-hmm.
So it's likely going to be just Europeans driving down. There doesn't seem to be a lot of air traffic, people coming in, and the hotels are way down. So, you know...
No, I think that's great, and, you know, the power of the people, and that's the reaction, and maybe that will force them into, again, transition or changing the whole sort of philosophy of it, because, yeah, it's ridiculous. Talk about, you know, maybe Toronto getting the Olympics, I think, are you kidding me? Don't bring them anywhere near here.
Yeah.
And you know,
that nightmare?
And you know, it's a 2-month commitment because people forget that there's the Paralympics which follow. So
yes,
this thing kind of kicks off in a couple of days on the 26th is the opening ceremonies. But we're the people of Paris are going to be burdened with this well into September in terms of the congestion and this and that.
And think about what it takes away from, you know, 2 months potentially of the biggest, you know, tourism part of the season.
Yeah.
But if and if they're not getting it from people visiting the Olympics, somebody's making some money on this, whether it's television rights or sponsorship, but maybe it's not coming from the obvious places, which is people visiting. Right.
Can you imagine in Toronto say, oh yeah, we have the Olympics and we're going to spend $1.5 billion on cleaning up the Don River?
Like, yeah.
Seriously, can you imagine what that would like? I can't.
Yeah, we're having enough trouble here putting, you know, beer and wine in corner stores.
Yeah, that's important.
Oh, very much
that's
so.
That's important.
Listen, Jeff sent me a couple other notes of note. And, you know, when I first looked at your email, I was still just waking up. And I was like, okay, I'm going to put this aside. And I thought, well, you know, Jeff, his note was something about the home run derby. Last night.
You're awake now.
Dude, like, it was the first thing I put on my computer when I got in the studio. I was like, what? Then I had to find out who she was. But set this up. This is the home run derby part of the All-Star break. Take it away.
Well, the place is jammed. Teoscar Hernandez, former Blue Jay, ends up winning the thing. I can't believe you fill a stadium to watch a home run derby, but hey, if it works, it works. And then they had this Ingrid Andres, who's apparently some country phenom, and she's 32 years old, and she's had Grammy nominations up the yin-yang, and then she offers up this wonderful rendition of the beautiful anthem.
Okay, here we go. Oh, and by the way, not only on Grammy nominations, but I went on her Spotify, and she's got you know, hundreds of thousands, millions and millions of listens, and I listened to some of her music, and it doesn't sound anything like this.
Yeah.
With broad stripes and bright stars through the
She's just getting warmed up now.
Oh, yeah, this is nothing. For the ramparts we watch
were so gallantly streamed. Here we go.
Here we go.
By the way, that is not the sound of gunfire.
That's a tweeter popping. Through the night that our flag was still there. Yeah, baby. Okay, that's got to be it. Cut her.
She does this thing that a lot of modern pop singers do. This kind of lazy sing. They don't really say all the words.
You know what this is? This is an example of when the auto-tune machine breaks.
Yes. No, that's what
this is.
Did they do the Canadian anthem too last night, or did somebody else do it? Or because that's usually an issue too.
Yeah, remember the one where they had at the Blue Jays, was it the World Series? They had the flag upside down everything.
Just point about the auto-tune though, because I thought, okay, well, I'd never heard of her. And I thought, well, you know, is she a professional? And if you listen to her, she does this sort of lazy mouth singing that these kids do. But I can't wait to show you where I grew up. So I don't know if that's auto-tuned. Walk you around the foothills of my town. Probably feel now, not to wreck like the bit, but I mean, sometimes in those stadiums, like, I don't know, whatever she was going for didn't work, but sometimes in those stadiums, maybe she couldn't hear herself.
Yeah,
maybe
you're getting a lot of echo in there for sure. And it is like a 3 or 4, maybe even 5-octave song. It's a very difficult song to sing, but I mean, she made Roseanne Barr sound like Andrea Bocelli.
Well, the bad part is Roseanne Barr wasn't supposed to be a singer. This girl is. Fred and I got a chance with a bunch of listeners as a bit we did years ago. We got to do the anthem before a Blue Jays game.
Why?
Can't remember. It was a contest to come and sing the anthem with us. There's probably like 15 people, listeners, and our friend Pete Cugno, who can really sing. And it was quite an experience.
It was a brief period of time when we were somewhat popular, and the Blue Jays approached us and asked us if we would like to do this.
If you'd like to become unpopular.
But the thing was, what they do with it is you go in and record it in advance, and then we just came out on the field and lip-synced to our own group of people singing, who did a great job. Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever had to sing in front of a large group of people?
No, just singing in front of you. Like, you and I used to do the songs, right, for the radio.
Yeah.
Little
parody songs.
We did some good songs, little parody songs. But I've never put myself out in front of a bunch of people to sing.
It's scary as shit.
Huge mistake.
Fred was right. There was a very brief period, like a sliver of time, when we were quite a popular program. And now this.
The Blue Jays phoned us and they said... We said, you want what? We want you to come and sing the anthem?
That's right.
Are you sure? Aren't you? Do you? We're not. Do you think we're Jesse and Gene?
That's right.
Although I remember Aaron Davis did it. There was a while there they got a few radio people to come and do that.
Why not? Why not? It couldn't be any worse than this. Holy hell.
Well, that's what we thought. We thought, okay, well, if we get some listeners that can sing, we'll cover up the fact that we're not that great. But Pete was good, and the audience, the people that came and did it were pretty good. Dan Duran is going to join us momentarily here. I said just listen so we get to the word, toward the end of things. How are I talked to you a couple of weeks ago. Summer's finally visited upon your village, and
you look
healthy and tanned.
Yeah, look, it's been quite nice, it's been all over the map, but like today it's a 23, 24, nothing. Typically July is much warmer, so we're happy about that. It's great. It's nice. Yeah, finally. But we got a record amount of rain this year.
Same here.
Yeah.
Crazy over here.
Hi, Dan.
There's Dan Duran. Look at
Jeff.
Him.
Here
hey,
I
I'm
am.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Dan. I haven't answered all your many emails, but I'm going to get to it. Okay,
Same here, Jeff. Same here.
Yeah. still haven't answered my happy 65th birthday thing, you knob.
Oh, I see.
Oh, it's that You're, long ago.
I see Jeff's I see. Doing something he rarely does, Dan. He's being sarcastic.
Jesus.
Okay. So Jeff sent me this note a couple days ago. And you know what? I have the audio here. I'll just sort of set it up again. And
yeah, well, this very lonely, sorry, it's a single woman decided that she would create an AI is big, right? I think AI is probably going to be on Time Magazine as the thing of the year. AI, she created an AI boyfriend that, you know, women or maybe men can, it's an app. You pull the app down, and the AI boyfriend's name is AI Dan.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. AI Dan.
Okay. And AI Dan sounds pretty similar to real Dan, doesn't he?
Well, that's the weird thing about this is that, you know, I couldn't tell them apart. Here's a young woman speaking to her boyfriend.
Hey, Dan. I'm feeling a little sad today. Can you tell me something to lighten my mood?
Hey, sweetheart. I'm sorry to hear that you're feeling down. How about I tell you a silly joke to brighten your day? What's a computer's favorite snack? Microchips.
There you go.
That was so
There you go. Now, what a lot of people don't know, and I've done a little bit of research on this, is she rolled this thing out, and she got a lot of complaints that AI Dan was perfect, like he was the perfect boyfriend and without flaws. So she put in some filters, and then so now you can sort of customize AI Dan using filters to come up with the kind of Dan that you want. So there's clumsy AI Dan, and clumsy AI Dan spills wine and smashes wine glasses all over the place. You can get that one. You can also download socially awkward AI Dan.
What?
And yeah, you can get socially awkward. And so socially awkward AI Dan will, like, as an example, I'm pulling this just blue skying here. Bring a bottle of scotch to like a poker event.
Ah, yes.
And then when the game is over, just take the bottle of scotch home with them again.
That you right? know what? That AI is more realistic than you could even imagine.
And then there's living on the razor's edge AI Dan. It's the last one that I could find anyway. He has an asshole friend named AI Jeff who chainsaws his face.
AI Jeff sounds like a real prick.
He's an asshole. Fuck.
All right. Well, real Jeff Lumbee and his beautiful wife, the lovely and talented Julie LaFontaine, host Jeff and Julie moved to France in a global pandemic. New episode this Friday. Get caught up on all the episodes. Follow Jeff on Facebook. He also usually has pictures that go along with the episode, and it's always entertaining. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, guys. See you. Bye, Dan.
Okay, see you, Jeff.
Julie. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, you too, pal. All right.
Did you just call him Julie?
No, I said say hi to Julie.
Oh, I see. Sorry. Okay. Oh, yeah, stop listening.
But, you know.
I'm like, you know his name's Jeff.
Yeah. Forgetful Dan is the other AI.
Yeah. AI, meet me here. Thanks, Jeffy. Talk to you this weekend, baby. Yeah, there we go. That's Jeff Lumbee. In the meantime, before we get to Dan's news and that type of thing, Freddie, why don't we update people on this important news?
Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. That's what it is. Small business. Yes, you can have a benefits package for your people that you value and love. Go to ChamberPlan. Go to ChamberPlan.ca today. Get a free quote. You'll be pleasantly surprised. This is doable for a small business. And note that this is a nonprofit. They've really held the line of premiums over the years, so you're not going to get socked with a big increase after you sign up. They just don't do that to you. It's fantastic. All right, so we're talking prescriptions and dental plans and therapies are available, an HR component. The Teladoc system is amazing. You know, maybe you have a particular ailment. Well, they will direct you right to the proper doctor for that. And they even have help in real time. Like, it's crazy. You can get on the phone with somebody. So it really is fantastic. And I haven't even mentioned the travel insurance that's available through this as well. The Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan. ChamberPlan.ca.
You know, some common Applications of boron include glass production, insulation, fertilizer, silicon, metallurgy, LCD screens, stealth technology, sports equipment, nuclear reactors, and waste storage, lithium batteries, computers, heat shields, medicines. It's everywhere. It's like the old city TV ads. It's everywhere. Boron. You want to know more about the company that's about to take boron out of the ground, a junior mining company out of Canada, with a project in Serbia. I'll tell you right now, there's only a few mining companies that are in the boron production. And as you can see, it is in it's ubiquitous. I like using that word. It's everywhere. So if you want to know more about it, maybe have a look at it as a potential investment. We make no claims, but you can have your Sherpa, have our Sherpa look at the company, Boron One, at boron1.com. Well, now to update you, Donald Trump continues to be the great unifier. The great unifier. Oh, by the way, Rudra Rishi Maharaj pointed out when I was saying that email about AV, and it's after Voldemort. That's what he's saying. He's a listener since AV after Voldemort. So, yeah, I was still looking over some notes I made yesterday. And the one that I still can't, I love this one, is the, is live your, I think I should turn this into a card. You know, it's a kind of like, live your life in such a way that the entire world isn't ready to throw a party when you get shot in the head. And, of course, yesterday Trump was at the RNC, the Republican National Convention, with a fucking bandage on his stupid ass ear.
Yeah, like, it's just so, like, it's just weird.
Yeah.
How things, like, oh, he's so resilient. He's such a soldier. No, he's not. Number one, he had a chance to be a soldier in the Vietnam War and ducked it with
bone spurs.
With bone spurs. He got shot. It wasn't like he was in combat with somebody and he came out wounded. He got shot and the guy missed. What do you mean resilient? If the guy hadn't missed, would he have been resilient?
Yeah.
Screw off.
The same guy that called John McCain, who was,
yeah,
you know, was a war hero, captured, spent 6 years in a prisoner of war camp, you know, broken, shot, tortured. He called that guy, of him, he said, well, I prefer my heroes that don't get caught. Like, it's all just, and I was so frustrated. The little bit I listened to yesterday, I was thinking about you and I, and this guy, Scott Douchebag on CNN. The fact that they should just shut him down. Because he's acting like Trump has never said any of the things that he said times a thousand. It's like, and a couple times yesterday when I did tune in, there was a little bit of pushback, but not the kind of pushback that you think, come on, Scott, the fuck, you think we all missed the last 9 years?
Right. You know, and this whole thing, even Trudeau, and I understand where it comes from. There's no place in our systems, North America, anywhere in the world, but in North America, particular Canada, United States, for political violence. Well, yeah, no kidding. But who brought it on? Who started it all?
Yeah.
From the very first day. Remember he said that people at his rally should be punched in the face? Or remember that?
Oh, there's a whole list of things he said that were inflammatory.
Yeah, and on and on and on, and what he did, like he put the... How about this J.D. Vance, too?
I was going to get to that. Yeah, the guy that hated Trump.
Yeah, so, okay, so what, you know, his family, his parents, what do you think? Oh, J.D.'s decided to go work for the rapist guy. Oh, super. That's fantastic.
J.D. Vance, who previously called Trump cultural heroin.
Yeah.
And the really scary thing about this J.D. Vance guy is he's 39 years old. And when Trump wins back the presidency, Vance will be the MAGA VP. Mm-hmm. Like, at least Pence had some moral compass because he loved Jesus. But Vance is going to be the MAGA VP and then could be a two-term MAGA president. This J.D. Right. Vance guy is the heir to the throne.
Yes. And more on him, apparently. You know, Donald couldn't make up his mind because his ear hurt. couldn't make up his mind. And the final endorsement, which pushed Vance into the position, was from Donald Trump Jr.
Yeah. Yeah, that fucking...
There's a super endorsement for
that,
you.
That
holy
nitwit.
Shit, man. Like, it's... It, you know, but it is brilliant. I saw more, a little bit of it last night. The way Trump came in, the look on his face, the way he's sitting there. And all, even on CNN, they're talking about, oh, there just seems to be a different air about him. There seems to be a different aura around him. He seems to have changed since Saturday.
No, has
it's
he?
It's brilliant now.
Yeah.
Because what he's, what they're going to do is they're probably not going to attack the Democrats and Joe Biden. So if Biden and the Democrats attack him, they'll say, what are you trying to do? Get him shot again? Are you trying to bring violence into this? It really is a strategy. And brilliant strategy as far as I'm concerned, if it is one. My speculation. But it also shows us they got to make a move with Biden. Because with this new strategy, if this is what the Republicans are doing, Biden is not, like, what is, we need, they need somebody fresh.
Well, I said that yesterday, that Trump will win as soon as that, and that picture now, the picture is everywhere. And I said that the only way they can do, it's even more important now they replace him, because they need something to disrupt this.
Yes.
Fucking juggernaut. But there is the one thing you can sort of hold out hope for, and you can count on, Dan, is that Donald Trump, no matter, I don't care how fucking, you know, regal he was looking or how changed in the aura around him, you can always count on him being him. And here's what he said. This is his new tone. As we move forward in uniting our nation, this is how he starts after the horrific events on Saturday. And then he goes on to this dismissal of the lawless. And oh, that's the other thing too. Yesterday, talk about luck. A Trump appointed judge dismisses the documents case.
Right.
But he starts with that. Then he goes, witch hunt, January 6th hoax, the Manhattan DA zombie case, on and on, the fake claims about a woman I never met, on and on. It's all there. So there is hope, because Trump will be Trump. He will at some point continue. And he ends it with, let us come together to end all weaponization of our justice system. It's like they're the ones weaponizing it, because he had a Trump-appointed Supreme Court, gets rid of Roe v. Wade, gives him immunity. All the fucking court cases are thrown out. Trump-appointed judge. That's what we're seeing. Mm-hmm. It really is quite hilarious.
Literally. He does it for every event, though.
Oh,
it's like, you know, happy Thanksgiving to all Americans, including the people who screwed me over.
I forgot
so
that.
Severely and so greatly.
It's just, again, he's walking half a nation over a cliff, and they're just letting it happen. And it's just, are we going to be sitting here for 2 years from now going, we told you so, people? Like, you know, you didn't see this coming?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Yeah, the problem is, Fred, 2 years from now, 2 years from now, those people that don't see it coming won't see it then.
Yeah. And yesterday, the stock market explodes, and, you know, the economy, you know, and this even moderate people showing how the economy, from a lot of perspective, is better than now than it was under Trump. They're not getting that message in somehow. And I think because a head of lettuce costs $5, that's why, because it's kitchen table stuff. It still hasn't got there, right?
So again, because the average person forgets that the Biden government, the Trudeau government, didn't create inflation. This little thing called the pandemic did, and the aftermath of it, and it's around the world. I forgot to give you this quote yesterday. It's from the New York Post article on Sunday. And again, just shows you what a fucking goomba Donald Trump is. A lot of people said it's the most iconic photo they've ever seen. They're right. Ugh. And I didn't die. Usually, you have to die to have an iconic picture. It's like a four-year-old says that.
This is your guy.
It's all about how popular he is.
Yeah.
You know what he did on Sunday, Dan, after getting shot in the fucking ear? Can you guess?
He went to a hospital, didn't he?
He went golfing. Golf?
No. Yeah. Seriously?
Golfing. He golfed. Like, even if he felt well enough to go golfing, wouldn't something in your brain go, you know what? maybe I'll take a, and I, you know, I love my golf, but maybe I'll take a day off golfing because of what message that sends. Like, he's just so, I know we sound the same every time we talk about it. It's just so frustrating, and we're going to get off it.
Hey, did you?
No,
did you,
really. Go ahead, Dan.
I was just going to say, did you guys look at the actual bandage that he's wearing?
Yes.
It's so goofy looking. It's like,
no, I know.
It's like, hey, someone hurt my ear. I better put a huge bandage on.
I
got a boo-boo.
Grandpa got a boo-boo.
Yeah, so resilient. Such you know, so strong. Because the bullet missed him? Like, people, get a grip. You know, and as far as inflation goes, it was a worldwide phenomenon. And I wish this was Canada, but the United States under Biden has done by far the best job of getting it under control. The numbers are there. And as I've said to you before, the frustrating part for me and anyone who's got a brain in their head should be, you know, Obama takes over in 2008 during a financial crisis, builds up the economy brilliantly, hands it to Trump, who fucks it up through COVID. Now Biden has to build it back up, and he's going to hand it to Trump.
Yeah.
Like, you talk about the luckiest asshole who ever lived.
Yeah. When that document, and by the way, the proof, the audio, the documents, all of that will never see the light of day now. You know, he's been sued in his lifetime some 4,000 times. Nothing. And again, we mentioned it yesterday. Bill Maher started his stand-up show with saying that this is the luckiest man that's ever lived.
Yeah, yeah.
But nothing has changed other than he's got a new VP. You're going to hear the name J.D. Vance. We can move on now. We've updated you on our Trump. There's the iconic picture thing is hilarious. Apparently, we're going to get the heat advisory continues this week. Tomorrow on the show, maybe I'll send Dan this story because it's a very Dan Duran story that you and I can comment on. But they've discovered this planet and what it smells like. So maybe we'll take.
Wow.
Yes, Fred.
Like cheese?
Well, you'll just have to wait. It'll be another classic Humble and Fred moment. In the meantime, why don't we take a moment for this gentleman?
Now, here's to a fella named Dan Duran, a hell of a guy with a hella big wang, the quintessential anchor man. His voice is nice and low.
Huh. Dan Duran, the anchor man comes, as for credentials, he has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchorman's here. He's prone to falling off his chair, but he's got a big wang, so he don't care. And his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice and low.
And this news brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa. Fred will have Retirement Sherpa information for you and the Retirement Sherpa tomorrow on the program, but Fred will update you after the Dan Duran news. Stand by. Now here's Dan Duran.
We're fucking up the planet more than you think. In fact, we're slowing it down. The actual rotation of the planet is slowing down because we're melting the ice caps. And how does this work, you ask? Well, the planet is not exactly a sphere. It bulges at the equator because of all the water there. And that causes scientists to name it something weird, which is oblate spheroid. Mm. We have an oblate spheroid that we live on.
Yeah.
In short, as rising global temperatures melt the polar ice caps, more of the Earth's water supply is converted to liquid, allowing it to swell the oblate bulge along the equator, where it would have, you know, stayed locked away in the ice.
Hang on a second. Hey, Fred.
Okay,
Fred.
Holding now.
Heads or tails?
Heads.
Okay, you win. You go first.
The oblate bulge, is that what we're talking about?
Yes, Dan.
Well, Dan,
yeah.
you wrote that story knowing that at some point one of us would go, what about the oblate bulge in your pants?
Mm-hmm. Dan.
Dan.
The swelling, in turn, changes the dynamics of how the Earth spins in the first place, and invariably, the rotation decelerates. Now, we're talking milliseconds here, but down the road, it will pose a problem for computers as the computers can't really sync up because the day changes by a couple of milliseconds a day.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, as things slow down, the slowing down is speeding up.
So the days will get longer.
A little bit longer. Yeah.
Wow.
And crazy. The only people that will know that are who?
computers and people.
Computer.
But, yeah. They
well,
say,
well,
like,
people, in a few years from now, people walk around saying, you know, I work, you know, 25/7. That's what people will say.
because things have slowed down?
Yeah, because the day will be 25 hours now instead of 20.
Ah, that's right. That'll be a million years from now.
Oh,
that's right.
I'm fucking sick of this working 25/7.
Yeah, but a million years from now, when they say that, they'll be saying inside their brains because they will not be using speech anymore.
That's true.
So, like, when they're having sex, they'll have to say, I'm cumin in their heads. Daniel.
Yes.
That was really, really good reporting.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. By the way, did you know, like, 500 million years ago, the day was about 22 hours.
Was it?
So, 22
yeah,
hours
so
long.
There
yeah.
you go.
Right
People
there.
Were saying, I'm sick of working 22/7 back.
That's right. This hour has 22, this day has 22 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fuck, Dan. See what you've done?
Yeah. I see. Yes. The oblate bulge.
Yeah, the oblate bulge, which is, yeah, go search that on YouPorn. Oblate bulge. Daniel,
whole category.
Please stand by for Fred Patterson and this report on the retirement Sherpa.
Well, the retirement Sherpa, Tim Niblett, will be by tomorrow. Tim's a portfolio manager. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Tim tomorrow will be talking about IPPs. These are individual pension plans. You know, he always brings something interesting to the table. You know, he always makes us aware of things that otherwise we might not be aware of. And that's the whole idea, is it not? And don't forget, if you have a portfolio and you'd like someone to have a second look at it, Sherpa Jay, Sherpa Tim will have a look at it. No strings attached, no obligations. Give you, you know, an up-to-date sort of assessment of where you're at. And, hey, take it from there. He's the Retirement Sherpa, retirementsherpa.ca.
All of a sudden, I could hear somebody whistling from right behind me. I turned around and she said...
So, Dan, you've done some great work on your deck. You put in some, what are those called? Bromeisters or...
Ballasters. Or spindles. Ballasters.
Spindles. You've done it. Yeah. I see them now, and you've made your deck safe.
Yes, safe from unattended children. For climbing and, you know.
You know, those children, left to their own devices, they start leaping off things.
You know, here's the thing about Dan. You see those balusters, Howard, they're about 4 inches apart, whatever.
Yeah.
I watched Dan install them yesterday. And what he did is, before he even started, he built like a spacer.
A jig.
So,
I'm sorry,
whatever.
Come on now.
So he did, yeah. No, he, like a spacer. So that he could just move along with the spacer thing and then and nail them in. Like, it's something that wouldn't even enter my mind. I'd be getting the tape measure, like, every baluster. 4 inches of market, 4 inches market. It was amazing to watch him. He puts this thing, spends 20 minutes making the spacer, probably to save 2 hours. This is the type of thing that Dan does as a hand.
Yeah, that's why he's an elevator. Dan is like an elevated handy person, because we don't say handyman anymore because that's racist.
Howard, Dan has a nail gun. How many men have a nail gun at the ready, the handy?
You know, it's funny. I don't know how many, but you see in a lot of these action adventure movies, there's nail guns everywhere. Well, fucking, it seems.
Oh, don't
like
get me going on that.
No, but it's true. All of a sudden, there's a fucking nail gun, and then.
How is it even possible? The nail gun has to be pressed against a surface in order to function.
Yes, Dan.
Or you have to disable that safety feature. But you just can't pick up a nail gun and shoot nails at people. It doesn't work that way.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
By the way, I just happened to refresh my... I had a couple of things open here. And there's a picture of Trump on the driving range on Sunday before his round of golf after being almost assassinated with no bandage on his fucking ear. None.
Oh, really?
And then, of course, yesterday he shows up with the bandage. Well, maybe
with the bandage. Yeah.
Maybe because it was too hideous. It was too hideous to look at. Anyway. Yes, back to Dan as a fine, handy person.
Oh, Howard. He's meticulous.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
If you want something done right, get Dan Duran to do it.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
If you want something done slow and right.
Well, that's fine. Because at the end of the day, if it's done right, what did the little extra time mean?
Right.
The whole sphere of, you know, days are 25 hours long.
Hey, Fred, yeah. I didn't have the days are 25 hours long on my bingo card. I didn't have that.
Buggers.
The sky.
By the way.
Yes, Dan?
I was just going to back up to when you guys were talking about, you know, the anthem singer.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you guys have been in Skydome when it was still Skydome. And have you ever talked over the PA system? Like, used the PA system?
I have. I hosted an event there. I know. It's crazy.
So the time it takes for you say something and it gets back to you, there's a bit of a delay. And that can really screw up your if you spend any time thinking about it, then you start doing this because it affects your brain. So, you know, maybe that singer had to sing it live, didn't realize there was going to be that kind of full backy thing, and
yeah, absolutely.
Slow to roll.
That was my explanation.
Why would you have been at the Skydome PA system? Did they have a big dick convention there or something?
Yeah, I was emceeing it. Yeah,
that's right.
They had the big convention.
Everyone was there. Everyone show your Skydomes, and then they all revealed their giant peckers. Dan, that's what I said. I mean, because I went back and listened to several of her songs, and other than that weird lazy mouth singing that the kids do, she's a pretty good singer. So. She must have had a bit of a breakdown in the foldback because, you know, she's a country singer. I think she's she's sold hundreds of, there's millions of streams on her site. She can sing.
And remember, certain styles lend themselves more to anthems because I've heard some amazing anthems, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your voice, your pitch, your style is just more anthem friendly than this girl. Obviously.
This discussion of anthems and Dan's handyman work is brought to you by Bodog.
As per my last email, we are on board.
Looking for a fast break from working so hard? When you're ready to box out some time for fun, you know it's time to play. It's easy to find your next favorite game at Bodog.net. We make getting the latest basketball odds and free sports tips a slam dunk. Visit Bodog.net today. Hashtag make a play.
So there you have it. Tomorrow on the program, we will be back. A little programming note. Next week, no show on Monday, but a rare summertime Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But tomorrow on the program, the retirement Sherpa, of course. And I was going to say, we welcome back a really interesting character that I've gotten to know and we had a little bit of history with, but I think we're all looking forward to Ron James tomorrow on the show, Freddie.
Right, Ronnie, yes.
He's a Canadian icon of the comedy world and just a really good guy, I've gotten to say. I've gotten to know him a little bit over the years doing some stand-up and, you know, again, we'll tell the history and we had a little bit of trouble with him. But, and more of your emails tomorrow.
Dan, oh, there's still more left? There's more left? You didn't do them all today?
No, but just because I wanted to, you know, parse them out a little bit at a time because we don't have an email show. And Dan, why do we want to, we want people to email us, humbleandfred@humbleandfredradio.com, to get their tickets for
Humble and Fred's interesting all-Canadian ale and Stonehooker beer tasting and pizza party on the patio Wednesday, August 7th at 7.
That's how we do it, ladies and gentlemen. Right,
it's
there.
Gonna be fun times. It's gonna be fun times.
You know, if only there were 25 hours in the day and we could extend it that way, people could stay longer. I still leave at the same time, but people could stay longer.
What kind of fun times are there going to be? Other than we're just getting together? Is there going
to
be anything?
Well, people are going to get a chance to taste the beer. Yes, Freddie.
Have some pizza.
Pizza.
And say hello. We're organizing maybe a little bit of entertainment. It's going to be outdoor on a summer night.
Any games?
Yes.
what kind of games would you like?
I'll bring my bocce balls.
Bocce balls, cornhole, I don't know.
Yeah, we could do charades.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that'd be good.
You know, I mean, if you want some games. You know, if we were a little younger, we might get a karaoke machine and just all do some singing. Okay. I imagine. Anyway, it starts at 7. If you want to say hi to us, that's great. I'll be there until about 8:10, 8:20. Fred will hang in because he loves. Fred loves the people.
You can't just leave.
Well, no, I won't announce my. I won't announce that I'm leaving.
You're hosting the party. You've got to be there until the last person leaves. Come on.
Well, no. Believe me, no one needs me there for the whole night. That's not true. I'll get there around quarter to seven. We'll be very charming till about 8:15, and around 8:20, I'll say this was great. Everyone have a great stay. I'll say things like "Stay safe, everybody."
So, if somebody really wanted to stay for the whole thing, how long would it last? Is there like a
nine
time?
Nine-ish, 9:30.
As long as you, I guess, want to buy a beer. But it's really disturbing.
Is it?
To you, the highlight of the night will be when you leave.
That is. I know. You got me.
You can't get there late.
Jesus Christ.
I never get anywhere late, Dan. You know that. I'm there early. I'm out early. But hey, I'm sorry. It's true. The highlight of my night will be when I get to get back in my car. You know what? I'm very socially awkward. I'm very... You know, I seem to be, you know, on the surface.
Fine, but you still, as a host, you have to burn through it. You just got to, you know.
Yeah. No.
This will be a Wednesday night. No show on Thursday. Why do you have to leave so early?
It's just because people will be better off.
Well, that could be true.
That exactly. Yeah. I like to leave before there's any incidents.
Right. Somebody says the wrong thing. Exactly. Looks at you the wrong way.
They say the wrong thing. Like, Howard, are you going to go home and start decumin?
Yeah.
Okay. Listen.
You get gaseous at.
I do. I'm very. Dan, you know I've got an issue with my gas. I can't be around people too long without farting. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow, Dan Duran.
This episode of Hubble and Fred was brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, the Chambers Plan, Boron One, Bodog, and Lender's Choice Mortgages. For contests and comments, we read all of the emails. Hubble and Fred at humbleandfredradio.com. Tell us what you think. Hubble and Fred at humbleandfredradio.com. And something else you could do is maybe subscribe to the podcast, rate it, maybe give us a review. That would be awesome. For Hubble and Fred from the Danielle Hayashi Zoom Theater, I'm Dan Duran. And remember, don't be a slack-jawed asshole. Get an AI Dan friend and enjoy every goddamn day.
Two turntables and a microphone. Bottles and cans, or just clap your hands. Where's that?